Hey there, welcome back to the Northwest Audio Podcast, Midweek Formation, where we give some supplemental content to take your formation beyond Sunday morning. My name is Nick, I'm the community pastor here at Northwest, and I'm here with our youth pastor, Sam. Today we close out the conversation through the season of Lent, talking about the relevance and the importance of Holy Week. Welcome back, everybody. We're so glad that you're with us. We've got a little bit of a shorter podcast prepared. We're going to be talking a little bit more of just like broadly the importance of Holy Week and just kind of, you know, what it means for us today, what we can do about this, like what do we do with this. I'll also recommend last year, we did a podcast every day, like a little reflection each day of Holy Week. Mm. And if you want to go back and listen to those, I'll link the rest of this week's days in the show notes so that you could go ahead and listen to them like as a reflection devotional in the morning time. We thought about doing it again this year, but I was like, will I really have more to say about, you know,
sure,
about Holy Monday? Just a year later, like I would just say the same thing. So I might as well just refer people back to the last year's one.
Yeah, I'll listen to it. I was freezing in the mountains of Montana This time last year.
So yeah, they're great and super beneficial. They're only a couple minutes long. And so it's easy to just kind of listen to it maybe on your commute or maybe just in the morning or at the end of your day and just kind of reflect on what happened during Holy Week and kind of center ourselves, posture ourselves going towards Good Friday and Easter. So this is a pretty big week. This is like the week. Chris Dunbar said this in his sermon last on Sunday, and man, I was just so thankful that he did, of just like, why don't we make a bigger deal out of Holy Week and Easter? Like, these are huge. This is the Super Bowl, the Memorial Day, the Independence Day, the President's Day, all wrapped into one.
Right.
For Christianity, because it's like, this is like the biggest thing. And yet we just kind of like, yay, let's have a service where we wear nicer clothes and some brighter colors. And then afterwards we'll do an Easter egg hunt and eat ham. Anybody else? Do you eat ham?
No, I'm not. I like ham, but that's not my first pick.
Still, that's like a normal Easter dinner. Like honey baked ham is like, yeah, Easter season, baby.
Sure.
Let's go.
It's like a one day thing. And it's like, yes, all right, it's over next.
Well, and even then, it's just like we had a dinner together and we wore pink and teal.
I'm here for that.
Like we don't really get like excited about it. We don't really, you know, we don't go through the journey of, you know, Good Friday, the morning, you know, and the weeping and the lamenting and then the silent Saturday and reflecting and then going into this big celebration on Sunday. And that's one thing that I do appreciate about some different denominations or cultures or that have like festivals and whole like celebration type things that have to do with Easter. And they're like, we make a big deal out of this. Like, this should be our biggest celebration of the year. Celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Like, that's huge.
Right. Celebrated all the time.
Yeah. Like, we should be like making a big old deal about it. This should be a parade on Easter Sunday. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So speaking of that, there's a devotion that's been on my shelf for a while. It's called On Earth as in Heaven. It's by N.T. Wright. So when you talk about the denominational differences, Wright is, he's a New Testament scholar, but he's also like Anglican and Pentecostal, so Anglicostal. That's, we're just gonna, if it's not already coined, trademark, it's done here on the Northwest Podcast.
That's
it's a new denomination.
Denomination,
yeah. Anglicostal coming to a church near you. I don't know. That's so bad. But anyway, N.T. Wright, as he's talking about Easter, he says, in terms of Easter week ought to be an 8-day festival with champagne served after morning prayer or even before, with lots of alleluias and extra hymns and spectacular anthems. Is it any wonder that people find it hard to believe in the resurrection of Jesus if we don't throw our hats in the air? Is it any wonder we find it hard to live the resurrection if we don't do it exuberantly in our liturgies? Is it any wonder the world doesn't take much more notice of Easter if it's celebrated as simply the one-day happy ending tacked on to 40 days of fasting and gloom?
wow.
It's long overdue that we took a hard look at how we keep Easter in our church, at home, in our personal lives, right through the system. And if that means rethinking some cherished habits, well, maybe it's time to wake up.
I love that. Maybe it's time to wake up.
Wake up, people.
Wake up. I really like you never really think about this. I mean, we probably don't think about it much because we don't really do much Lent anymore in our non-denominational circles in the West. But thinking about how the fact that like Lent is this 40-day, you know, lowering of yourself and repentance and, you know, kind of like somber and reflective. And then we have like one day where we're like, woohoo!
Yeah, 40 days of misery. And like, then, oh, that was awesome.
What in the world? So I really love that he's like, this should be like an 8-day festival, like to close out Lent. You know what I mean? And so that is one thing that I do want to touch on of just like, I think it's important this week to start the shift, like start the change in posture from lament towards joy. Not fully, obviously, because like we have got Good Friday and we've got Silent Saturday. And so we don't want to walk into Good Friday being like wearing our teal, being like, woohoo,
yeah,
heck yeah, baby. He's dead. Oh yeah. Like, no. Oh, like we don't that's not it. But I think we should start to shift our eyes a little bit. And so like for the last 40 days, you know, or the last however long, you know, of Lent, we've been looking down. Looking at ourselves, looking at our sin, looking at all these things. I think Holy Week is the time when we start to pivot and we need to look up to Jesus. And so now we're like right now we're kind of in an in-between where we look at ourselves and we look at Jesus and we say, okay, like, Lord, as you, like, we're leading up to your crucifixion. We're leading up to this time. And how can I be more aware of myself and be more aware of my sin and more aware of these things? But how can I look towards you now as the completer of that?
Yeah.
Like the one who is about to complete all of this and the one who's about to finish it. And how can I look forward to the joy that is coming on Easter? And then on Easter, there's just the lots of hallelujahs, champagne after morning prayer. I thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah, champagne after prayer. Let's do it.
No, I love it. I mean, well, you and I were talking about like decluttering and fasting and all these things. And it's like, yes, there's we were talking about this earlier, but there's an importance of recognizing, okay, there's sin in my life. There's things I need to give over to Jesus. But the reality is Easter brings freedom.
Yeah.
So yes, that sin still exists, but it no longer has power over me.
Right.
Like there's a new beginning to be celebrated in Easter.
Yeah. Well, what's great is that now we shift from fasting to feasting.
Ooh.
Like we shift.
Phrase right there.
That is a coffee mug phrase.
I like it.
Put it on. Put it on the wall.
Put it on the wall. There we go.
But it's this like, you know, we've been kind of, I don't know if sulking is the right word. Maybe it's a little less than sulking. It's not as dramatic, but that gets the idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's time to shift into this like, let's celebrate. Let's have a great time. You know, Jesus is alive.
And sorry, not sorry, I'm going to go back to N.T. Wright one more time. As he's talking about Easter, he says, Jesus' resurrection is to be seen as the beginning of the new world, the first day of the new week, the unveiling of the prototype of what God is now going to accomplish in the rest of the world.
That's so good.
And I'm like, amen.
And we should celebrate the heck out of that. That's so huge.
Yeah.
You know? So I would encourage you. This week, and we're going to talk about the days a little bit here in a minute, but I would encourage you as we kind of think through each of these concepts and what happens each day of the week leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection, to posture your hearts in that way. So that would be my first challenge. My first challenge would be to posture your heart, start to shift from the lament towards the joy, slowly. And two, make a huge deal out of Easter. Have so much fun on Easter. Like, go play outside. If you want to, like, if your kids are like, oh, yeah, I want apple juice. You're like, hey, have all the apple juice you want, dude. It is Easter. It is the day to have fun. It is the day to enjoy all that God has given.
Yeah.
It's like Sabbath on steroids.
It's like Sabbath on steroids.
It's like, this is the day to delight and enjoy in everything that God has given.
Is Sabbath on steroids the message title for the Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
100%.
Mm. Also, question though, as we talk about posturing our hearts from lament to joy and we reflect on each day's significance of Holy Week, I'm even just thinking, like, what does that mean for you? In that encouragement, when we say, let's start to make that shift, how do you do that?
Yeah, so for me, I would say that it's more on like an underlying level of my spirit. So okay. It's kind of like a base, home base shift, where each day I try to intentionally, one, think about what happened today. Like, what's the day of the week? But then I also just kind of like, I look towards the end of the week too, if that makes sense. So I look at today. And I look towards the end of the week. In one way, I want to try and put myself in the shoes of the disciples and experience what they're experiencing. Where all the disciples are like, they're not understanding. They're like, Jesus, I don't understand what you're doing. Like, this doesn't make sense to me. They don't see where he's going with it. Like, they don't see Good Friday and Easter. They don't see the crucifixion and the resurrection. They don't understand what's going on. Right now, like, you know, they're just like, why is Jesus doing this? Why is Jesus doing this? Why is he saying this? What does this mean? Like, the destruction of the temple, what? Like, what are you talking about? And it doesn't make any sense. And so I think it's important on some level to put ourselves in their shoes and experience that, and then see how do we resonate with that unbelief even today, even though we know what happens at the end of the week.
Mm.
I know what happens on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and yet I still have the same unbelief sometimes as the disciples did when they had no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, that truly is the life of the disciple. Sometimes you just ask the question, Jesus, I'm following you, but what are you doing?
Yeah, we have no idea. And so it's like, how can I resonate with that human experience of not knowing where God is going with it? But then at the same time, in that same breath, and I kind of hold these in tension, I look toward the end of the week. And so I look towards Good Friday and Easter, and I say, oh my gosh, God is going to redeem. And so I look toward the end of the week, and I think through, you know, knowing that God is going to redeem, how does that change how I should be responding to different things? And so that's why it's kind of like a both and of, like, on one hand, I'm saying, how can I sit in their shoes and experience what they're feeling in the human condition? And then I'm also saying, okay, looking ahead, I do know what happens. Like, acknowledging the fact I live on this side, on the other side of Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I live on the other side of the tomb. I don't know what it's like to live on that side. And so as much as I can try to put myself in those shoes, I have to acknowledge where I actually am, which is post-resurrection. And I'm living in that new world that N.T. Wright was talking about, that new world that Christ was bringing in and ushering in. And so how do I live into that all the more, knowing what Christ has done? And so I think that's kind of the importance. I think throughout the year, I appreciate the liturgical calendar for this reason of just like different times of the year have different agendas and different purposes. But we should always come back to the cross and the resurrection at this time of the year. And we do. I mean, obviously we celebrate Good Friday and Easter every year, but how do we make that a part of our own personal life rather than just our weekend schedule? Mm. Like, how do we make Easter weekend more than just a outfit change and I go to a Friday service as well as Sunday now? Right. You know what I mean? Like, how do we make it more than that?
Yeah.
How do we internalize it and bring it on to a deeper level?
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of established that, let's talk about just kind of what each day is. And like I said, there are podcasts for each day, little reflections, so you can listen to each day in the morning of like what happened. But I think it's important just to give it like a little bit of a breakdown.
Okay? Yeah.
So Palm Sunday, obviously, Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he shows up and he's like, let's do this thing. It's time. And I think it's important to know, and I talk about this in some of those podcasts, I think, is that Jesus spent 3 years doing ministry around this area. No problems. Jesus spends 1 week with the Sadducees.
And all heck breaks loose.
And it all goes downhill. To me, that reveals very clearly that the reason for Jesus' death was hardcore because of like a power struggle, and because of corruption within the priesthood, the chief priests, and all of that. And so I think it's important for us to note that, that Jesus is like redeeming things throughout Israel. And then he comes to Jerusalem. He's like, all right, time for the big daddy. Like he's like, it's time to like hit the really sore spot, you know, like the place where a lot of the corruption is. It's time to go and redeem that.
Yeah. And not to mention the audacity of, I mean, the him riding on a donkey fulfills a prophecy from several hundred years ago that everyone would have known. This is what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to ride in.
He's like, I'm going to mess some people up right now.
And 500 plus whatever years later.
He's like, they're going to get so mad. No wonder he knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, they're not going to like this. They're going to kill me by the end of the week. Given.
Easy.
No doubt about it. So that was Sunday. And then on Monday, Jesus goes in and clears the temple. He starts it off with a bang. And he goes in and he's like, look what you're doing to the temple. Boom. Starts flipping tables. People are buying and selling things in there, turning the place of prayer into a marketplace. And he's like, what are you doing? And so he cleans it all out. On Tuesday, he teaches a bunch of different things, talks about them, some parables. And it also includes the Olivet Discourse, which is where Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple, a little bit alludes to his return a little bit and stuff like that. The disciples are like, what is going on? What is happening?
Yeah. So real fast on that, if you're a disciple, because we're talking about posturing ourselves within that journey of Sunday to Sunday, how do you maybe want to encourage people to, as we put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples, we're listening to the Olivet Discourse. What may be like a good point to reflect on?
Oh, dude, I don't even know. I can't even imagine being one of them sitting there and he's like, yeah, the temple's going to fall down judgment day and I'll come back. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
What are you saying? Like, this is crazy. Jesus, what do you, what?
Yeah, because the destruction of the temple has only meant defeat for
right,
them.
Right. And they're like, what is going on? I don't know what you're talking about. And so I think there's, but I do know that as learners under a rabbi, as Talmid, that they would have wrestled with that. I can only imagine like them after he taught that, them being all like confused and they're like sitting up, huddling up with each other afterwards and being like, okay, so what do you think this means? Like talking through it, wrestling with it and saying like this was obviously a reference to this passage in the text and the Torah. And like, how can we like that connects to this. And someone over there is like, oh, I think this means this. And everyone's like, oh, that's totally what it means. And they're like thinking, like trying to wrestle through all of these things. And so I even start to imagine my own self in times when God, puts things in place that I'm like, what is going on? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this encouragement to just wrestle with it.
Mm.
This encouragement to sit with it and discover what God is doing. And sometimes, to some extent, even being patient and saying like, I won't know all the things right now. I have to wait for it all to set in. Because the disciples eventually, once God puts more things in place and the dominoes start to fall, they're like, oh, now it makes sense. Right. Like that's what he was talking about on Tuesday, bro. Like, oh my goodness. That makes perfect sense. And so it's like, there's almost a level of like, we need to be patient for that like epiphany, that aha moment. So I think there's definitely a message there on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Wednesday of Holy Week is when Judas agrees to betray Jesus. It's a little bit debated on timeline-wise. Some people would say the Olivet Discourse is actually on Wednesday. So it's a little bit back and forth. I don't think it matters that much exactly which day it was on.
Yeah.
It happened. It happened either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right.
And so it's important to think about on one of those 2 days. But what's big is that Judas is agreeing to betray Jesus on Wednesday. The next day, Maundy Thursday, when you have the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet, this is where that whole John 13 is
13
at.
To 17, yeah.
So he washed the disciples' feet, they institute the Lord's Supper, and all of those things. That's where that all happens. And straight from there is when he goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and where he eventually gets taken by the guards there and goes right into Friday.
Yeah.
Which we have Good Friday, where we have all of the trials and stuff happen Thursday night through Friday morning, and then he endures his torture and then leading to his crucifixion and death. Then he gets put in the tomb. And on Saturday, it's just a day of silence. There are no words about what happens on Saturday. Like, nothing happens. And so for us, you know, this is Silent Saturday is one of those big days that it's important for reflection, because it's like, what do you do when you're sitting in between death and life?
Yeah.
When you're sitting in between like the prayer that you've prayed and it's still unanswered. Like, what do you do in the waiting, in the sitting?
Yeah.
Or like, what do you, like, I thought I was supposed to get this, but it's not happening. And how do you wait in that? How do you sit and wrestle with that? Like the disciples were. The disciples were probably sitting there all day Saturday being like, we lost. It's over. This sucks. Like, I thought he was the one. I thought he was going to come through. And they lose all the hope and the faithfulness. And how often do we do that just in our own prayer life and our own things that are going on in our world? That we're just like, I thought he was going to come through. You know, I thought he was going to do this, but he won't, and he hasn't. And so how do we sit well in the waiting and in the unanswered moments of life? So that's kind of like one of the hearts of, yeah, of Silent Saturday, which then brings us into Easter Sunday. Jesus rises. We all celebrate. We all party. We have a great time. And so, yeah, that's the week. That's kind of like a rough timeline of how things go down that week. And so I encourage you to just think through what happens each day. And so like on Wednesday, look back through even just reading the text of like what happened on Wednesday and being like, okay, how does this, how can I sit in this? How can I reflect on this today, going through this week? And so, yeah, I just encourage us to do that. Anything else that you want to say?
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts are read Mark 11 through 16. That's, Palm Sunday through.
Yeah.
Through the end. Audio Bible it in the car on your way to work. Have your kids listen to it. At least it's five minutes of your day to just go and listen. The other thing that the thought that just really hit me specifically with Judas is, okay, well, he betrayed Jesus to his death. But in my life, even in my new life with Christ, where might my actions or thought patterns be betraying my identity as a follower of Jesus?
Wow, that's good.
Like that's the thought that just hit me. Like where are the goals I'm setting? Are they in alignment with Christ? Am I idolizing my reputation, perfection, success over how God is calling me to be and to live and to do my ministry and to love my family, to love my friends? Like just sitting there.
That's really good. Well, that's what we've got for Holy Week. If you have questions or things you want us to talk about on the podcast, please let us know. You can do that by going to the media tab on our website at mercyroadnw.com. And on our website, you'll also be able to find more details and information about our community. And you can get a hold of me or Sam directly as well if you go to the staff page. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Peace.